Welcome, everybody, to episode 341 of WordPress Weekly for Thursday, December 13th, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Mr. John James Jacoby. How are you, sir?
All right. Very good. Home from WordCamp US, where you were sorely missed.
Oh, yeah? By who?
All of us.
Oh, okay.
Everyone wants to say, where's Jeff? Because Sarah was there. So everyone's like, hey, where's Jeff? And we say, Jeff's not here. And everyone's like, oh, man. And
then He's in a cave in Ohio.
And then we all reflect about the last time that we saw you in person or the last WordCamp US that you were at. That happens a lot. So, you know,
always ends with, it's been a while.
It is, does end with that.
I mean, because I didn't go to any WordCamps this year, so it's been a while.
That's right.
So we're doing this on a Thursday, obviously, because... Well, John, you were in the midst of traveling. You stayed in Nashville for a couple of extra days, so you're back home now in the good old state of Wisconsin. And we no longer have to talk about or debate or speculate on WordPress 5.0 release dates because, indeed, it was released last Thursday. It has been 1 week since WordPress 5.0 hit the public. At last check, let me take a look really quick here.
Yeah, we all survived Y5K.
Why?
It was okay. It was a non-event. Everyone mostly, largely ended up okay. A few people weren't. And then everyone fixed the thing, and now it's a non-thing. It's okay.
So far, WordPress 5.0 has been downloading 8,030,100 times, and the number just keeps going up. Thank you to the WordPress.org download counter. Always cool to watch once a new version is pushed out. And basically, you know, so I wrote the release post on WP Tavern for WordPress 5.0. And as I was writing the post, I was sort of having a difficult time writing it because, yeah, Gutenberg and the editor is pretty much the main basis, the core of what WordPress 5.0 was all about. But I felt like sometimes I felt like there were so many nuances and so many things that I think users needed to know about how the editor works that I felt it almost near impossible to create a WordPress release post. And in addition to that, for the past 1 or 2 years, we've written numerous articles about the state of development on Gutenberg. So I felt like at times that maybe I would be repeating myself. So what I did is I kept it semi-general, semi-basic, and talked about you know, what the new editor is and the block toolbar and what have you. This release was actually named after Bebo Valdez, and lo and behold, you know, there's controversy over the name of WordPress, you know, the jazz artist, because a lot of people, I didn't even remember or recognize that Bebo was the name of a social network that failed, I believe, back in like the mid-2000s.
There were a few of them that came and went. That's right. But who? There's like the controversy with the Gutenberg name also, because there was another Gutenberg.org was a different open source library cataloging something, right? So things are going to have the same name as things. It's, you can't get around it anymore.
I mean, so... so there you have it. WordPress 5.0 is out and about. It's making a stroll all around, visiting people's websites all across the world. Some things I've noticed, some feedback on the WordPress.org support forums. And the support forums, I think, are a good indication of issues that people are running into and user experiences that people are having. I know that there's been some issues surrounding the WordPress page builder WP Bakery. And some people have reported white screens or that the classic editor has been forced upon them by the plugin. There's been some incompatibilities, but I think the WP Bakery folks are on top of it and they're working on addressing those issues. Some other things that people have said or commented on is the narrow content area of the editor, which we've talked about on the show, where if you have a widescreen, a widescreen monitor, you have what seems to be this small confined area to the center of your screen, and you have all this white space on the left side, sometimes on the right side as well, and then you got your document toolbar on the right side. So there's been some complaints about that. Why doesn't it take up more screen real estate, which admittedly is something I would like to see done. You know,
me too.
Screen real estate.
The width has always been a style sheet setting, or has been a content width variable in PHP based on the theme that you're running. So it really just wants to be the width of the content area. But for some of the blocks that are like hero blocks or blocks that are full width, big chunky images or parallax scrolling or those kind of blocks, it would be nice to fill those in. I agree. But, you know, in due time, this is phase one, right? So it'll happen. It'll get there.
And honestly, I've had to look high and far to find genuine, positive, exciting type of feedback for WordPress 5.0 and Gutenberg. And I don't know what that means. Maybe I'm not looking in the right places. I was looking on social media, Facebook, the Advanced WordPress Facebook group, the support forums, and just generally in blog posts. Mm-hmm. It was hard for me to find. Generally, if you have an issue or if you don't like something, chances are you're going to say something about it. You know, that's just the way mm-hmm. things go. But I know some people were complaining about the some people were just introduced to the Gutenberg editor for the first time, and it just sort of shocked them. You know, they were in the shock and saying, why, where did it go? You know, where is the classic editor? Where's the thing I'm so familiar with that it's now just disappeared? There's been a lot of people in the support forum simply copy and pasting the link to the classic editor, which for a lot of people are overjoyed that they didn't even know the classic editor plugin exists. And when volunteers on the support forum would tell users that, here, install this plugin, and now you'll have the editor that you've been used to for the past 10 years, it saves the day for them. So the classic editor plugin has actually saved the day for a lot of people who at the current moment just either don't like or just need a little more time to figure out and get used to Gutenberg.
We've talked about it on the show that in general, folks don't celebrate when an amazing thing happens, right? So you're going to have a hard time finding more positive things and feedback about Gutenberg. I think Matt has been retweeting or tweeting links to people that have been really enamored or really have enjoyed Gutenberg on WordPress.com or in their own self-hosted WordPress install. So Matt's probably a good person to follow if you're looking for some of the positive things. But we have our eye on things. We're going to find all the critical little things that could be better all the time. So it's glad to. I'm really happy that it is largely a non-event for people. I guess I didn't expect for people to be singing from the rooftops about how amazing that Gutenberg was, but it's hard to tell if the silence is because it is good or if because people are afraid to speak up about it. And I mean, we can talk about WordCamp US, and I know that we'll recap at the end of the show, but some of the conversations that I had with people at WordCamp US were that they, as employees of organizations, were told not to talk negatively about Gutenberg, that it doesn't look good, it doesn't bring confidence to the platform, it doesn't keep relationships healthy, and they were asked to not be critical about it. So I think it's probably a lot of things in a lot of different directions. That
you know what, when you say that, and it's probably true, I just shake my head. That's a sad state of affairs. That is the reality of WordPress.
It does sound like rhetoric if I'm not naming names and putting people out there in the corner, but these are sort of people that if they wanted to speak their mind, they would. And I'm not going to have anybody lose their jobs for how they feel about something, or I'm not going to put somebody out in public if they're not posting their own opinions publicly, but they are comfortable enough with me in person to be able to say like, yeah, I've been out of this because I'm not really supportive of it, and I've been asked not to speak negatively about it. So
yeah, I just feel like to have that be a thing that this is the atmosphere that sort of that we're in now with WordPress, it's disappointing.
It's there is an aspect of it of like, if you can't say something nice, to not say anything at all. And I think that's fair. And even with us on the show, we try to not be negative about it. We share our experiences and our opinions, but I think we do choose our language and our words carefully, where we're not
most of the time
beating. Well, I try, but we're not beating people up about it. We're just, we're voicing our concerns or some worry, but we could arguably do a better job of reporting on the positive that we see or the cool stuff that people are working on or doing. So there's probably a part of that too, where we just got to get over it and look at the cool things that people are doing and accept that this is what it is. I think some of the things that some of the talks and the quotables from the State of the Word are things that I personally don't align with my own vision or of the future of what WordPress should or could be, but I'm not driving, right? So I'm happy that Gutenberg has been okay, I think, for most people. There's still a lot of open issues. There's a lot of little quirks and bugs in it, like we've talked about on the show before, but I think largely we users are tolerant, and this is just another new WordPress update for them.
Well, and now that WordPress 5.0 is out there, as Matt said, and I think Trunk was open for business on Contributor Day, we can now hopefully get back, take a deep breath and get back to fixing various areas of Trunk that, and Matt realizes that Gutenberg has sort of held everything else up in the project. And now that, now that Gutenberg is kind of out of the way, we could start to work on other areas of WordPress. But and as point releases come out, I think we're going to see rapid iteration and improvements to Gutenberg.
We will a little bit, but for WordPress 5.1 specifically, and I think for some of our listeners, they already know this, but there are probably folks that aren't as deep in it as others, that the idea with WordPress 5.1 and Matt being the feature or the project, the release lead for both WordPress 5 and 5.1, is the idea that as a release lead, it sort of falls back on that person to approve of the direction and the features and the things that are going into that release. And so there are a lot of things that are in Trunk that are in what was going to be 5.1 that have nothing to do with Gutenberg or phase two of Gutenberg or block editing at all. So I think that there is still a little bit of an audit process. There's still needs to be someone going through the closed issues that were closed in Trunk or that were scheduled or slated for 5.1 and decide what is blessed and what maybe isn't, or what is going to be in 5.1 and what isn't, or what gets moved out to 5.2 or later or beyond. Like, that is still, this is the first time in a really long time in WordPress's history where I can remember code being in already, gets committed to Trunk, where the release lead wasn't really accountable for those features being in there at the time. It's an interesting situation. And even Andy Nason is, I should probably pull it up in Slack to not misquote or paraphrase him poorly, but something to the extent of like, let's never do this again. Let's not try to work around some timeline things where the code base is in kind of a mismatched state. And for our listeners, it really just means that 5.0 is sort of so far off the path that the regular development path is, that merging them two together is a little bit of a manual process. There are folks behind the scenes going through code changes kind of patch by patch, line by line-ish, and merging them manually to make sure that 5.1 and beyond are all clean again. Part of this is based on the software that WordPress uses to manage its code changes. But part of it too, I think, in my opinion, is it's kind of a people problem too. It could have been worked on differently, but it was rushed and it was worked on in such a way that people could have prevented it and didn't. So hopefully these are the, 5.0 and 5.1 are the only two WordPress releases where this kind of pain is experienced by core committers or contributors, because it's really less than ideal and we all know how to avoid it and we all have worked better and more cleanly than this. And so there's a lot happening that is, there's a lot of friction behind the scenes that
you don't
that it kind of doesn't need to exist and everyone is working through. And I think the sigh of relief was pretty much felt at WordCamp US. I know you weren't there, but maybe Sarah spoke about it or wrote an article about it in the Tavern too. But.
Well, I want to get into WordCamp US in a little bit. We're going to be bouncing around here because there is, between WordCamp US last Thursday and today, the WordPress that the Make That WordPress Core blog has turned into the fire hose of information. Yes, there's article after article after article published about projects that are going on in next year, Gutenberg, release schedules, focuses. There's all kinds of things that have been written about. But I do want to mention that I believe this was when was this? See, there's no date on this, but there is a release. WordPress 5.0.1 was released the other day. It's a security release. It actually includes at least half a dozen security issues that have been patched. But in addition to those, developers will want to go check out the dev notes for this release, because there's a couple of things that break backwards compatibility on these features. And I know you're, as a member of the WordPress core security team, you probably have a little bit more insight into the breakage here.
Oh yeah. So I didn't work on 5.0.1 myself really at all. It happened relatively quickly. It's been planned for about a week and a half or 2 weeks. You always know it's coming, but exactly what's going to land in it isn't always a known thing. And so Ian Dunn largely led this miniature security release, also based on security researchers pressuring the WordPress security team to publicly disclose some of the issues that were here. So one of the fixes that's in 5.0.1 is a backwards compatibility break. I think there might be a known issue. A couple of issues have come in about that break, specific to CSV files and some VVT video file. But long story short is it fixed an issue with some MIME types, with file types, with extensions at the end of files that operating systems have a tendency to hide from us now. But PowerPoints and docs and Word docs and text documents, well, projects like WordPress and even Drupal at this point have always used a relatively relaxed version of file type checking that just look at the extension and see if that type of extension is allowed to be uploaded. And so WordPress allows you pretty basic and easy and trusted things like JPEGs and PNGs and GIFs, MP3s, file formats that as a blogger or site owner are trusted. You can upload them. They're likely to be your files and so on. But they're for all of the types of ways that people extend WordPress, like WooCommerce or Easy Digital Downloads or even forums and allowing untrusted users to upload files into the WordPress's uploads folder, that relaxed type of file checking maybe isn't enough. And Drupal has some similar add-ons and approaches to trying to do a little bit more strict MIME type checking. But this is one of those interesting songs and dances or ping pongs or issues where you fix one thing and something else comes up, and you fix another thing and something else comes up. And so it has been a dance for years of trying to get mime type checking in WordPress balanced in a way where it is safe enough for most people and flexible enough for people that need to do other things with it. And so the security release, the security issue specifically that's hot on my mind, is one that addressed a possibility with a file masquerading like a different kind of file and then having it run or execute in a way that it wasn't supposed to. And so a little bit more strict MIME type checking happened on some file types, and that worked great, but it broke a couple others. And so there'll probably be a 502 and maybe a 503 to increase and tune that and improve that a little bit more.
And while it's not WordPress related, I remember a long time ago, back when Napster was around, I don't know if they're still around, but back when Napster first came out and we were downloading MP3 files anywhere we could find them, we were downloading MP3 files. We had just gotten DSL.
Not me. I wasn't doing that. Not me, Jeff. I don't know what you're talking about.
Keep going. But my sister downloaded an MP3 file that was .mp3.vbs. It was a Visual Basic script. And when she tried to play the MP3 file, computer's infected. We have a virus. Right. And now the machine was compromised. And it was a VBS file masquerading as an MP3.
That's exactly right. And so these kind of files are not just about your own WordPress site. They are about not letting a script or an untrusted type of file exist on the server, because once it's there, who knows what it is capable of doing. So,
like, for example, a binary file could have been, before this update, a binary file could have been uploaded with the .jpg extension. When you click on the JPEG extension, you're not looking at an image, you're running code that you probably shouldn't be running.
That is exactly right.
Or at least that's the possibility.
Yep. And so those are types of things that need to be fixed. But you have to do that in a way that, file uploads are weird, right? I mean, we take them for granted a little bit. Social networks make it easy because they limit the type of files that you can upload. You're not uploading zip files to Facebook. You're uploading images and maybe MP4s or whatever raw type of video format that your phone or iPad or whatever else is going to let you upload. But they're able to, by nature of them being big software as services, and they have servers that verify the files that are being uploaded to them are the kind that they are. But your average web host, your Dreamhost, your Bluehost, your GoDaddy, what have you, they're not filtering out all of those uploads. They're trusting you on your own site to only upload files that you want to upload. So WordPress is that middleware. It's got to keep everybody safe and keep sites safe and visitors safe and everything else. So I think those are good fixes. And a lot of folks, some automaticians, some not, worked on that patch and iterated on it maybe a dozen or two times to get what was in 5.01, and there's still improvement to be made on it. So this is Ian and everyone did a good job with this, and we'll look forward to a 5.02.
By the way, if you've avoided upgrading sites to 5.0, these security updates have been backported all the way back to 3.7. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to install 4.9.9 as an incremental update to get the security fixes while avoiding WordPress 5.0 for the time being.
Yep. Jeremy Felt and a couple others did a good job of being around and available to patch all of those versions back. And that's one of those things where, again, when we talk about WordPress being end of life or how or having long-term support for different WordPress versions, I feel like this is almost a better deal. If we just continue to backport a lot of these fixes to as many versions back as we can comfortably go, it's better than long-term support. It's like almost infinite support, really.
Pop quiz, John. You ready?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to fail for sure.
When was WordPress 3.7 released?
When? Like what year?
I'll take a year.
I gosh, 3.7, 20, 14?
You're 13. Wrong. It's actually October 24th, 2013.
13. Yeah.
So we're talking about a release that's 5 years old, and we have security updates. Talk about long-term service release, huh?
No kidding, right? I mean, Ubuntu 16 is almost already, maybe we've got a year left or something on it. And we're on,
so when you talk about it, 18. When you talk about it, you say, well, when are we going to stop doing that? And the answer is, well, as long as we can, and it's a pretty simple process to do, why not just keep doing it? Because being able to secure people on those versions makes up for the whatever amount of work is needed to backport those patches.
Correct. And one of the things that makes this possible is all the very hard work from all of the meta and tools teams that have maintained and kept up with WordPress's PHP unit test suite and all of the tests involved in it. For a very long time, folks didn't really want to port anything back any farther than, I think, 3.4, because that was before there was really unit tests built into the core build process. And so it was harder to go back that far because there was no automated testing to prove whether or not you broke something. And so now that we have unit tests for all of these WordPress releases for as far back as we're going, and because of the volunteer effort of those teams to keep that running smoothly, everyone can say with confidence, like both with human eyes and machine eyes, that the code that's going in is fixing the bug like it's supposed to and not breaking any other existing bugs that were fixed before it. So in a case like this MIME type thing, this is new code that is tested to fix the bug it was addressed, but there weren't tests for the cases that got found. And so you can keep reacting to certain things and it'll keep getting better. But it's never good when there is a back compatibility break, but for something like this, I think it's warranted and felt right and agree with the decision. Frankly, it's the right thing to do.
Well, it's 5.0.1 out the door. The focus is now on 5.0.2, which is going to include some editor performance and bug fixes. The first one looks like the first minor release, focus on the editor, is going to take place on December 19th. Hey, that's 2 days before my birthday. And this will focus on performance improvements. Matthias Ventura says, particularly around typing with many blocks present on the page and bug fixes. He says that the accumulated performance gains are around 330% faster for a post with 200 blocks. This might be even bigger for certain setups and plugin configurations. Seeing the same test post be 540% faster with Yoast, for example. He says that the Gutenberg update can already be tested in the 4.7 plugin release and will be part of the upcoming 5.0.2 beta. So if we look at, and that kind of brings up I guess they're going to be continuing to work on the Gutenberg plugin and allow people to use that and to test out various features. And then those things will be merged into to Trunk or to WordPress.
Right.
Which I don't know. I'm kind of head scratching. I don't know the reasoning behind that. Instead of everybody can now focus on core because that's where Gutenberg is now. But I guess maybe it's to allow maybe Gutenberg is a standalone thing to also be updated and keep pace with WordPress.
That's one of the things Matt kind of mentioned. I think Gary talked about too with State of the Word and everything else is that, you know, the whole WordPress mission of democratizing publishing isn't always solely about WordPress. It is about democratizing publishing. No different than Elon likes to say that Tesla's mission is to bring electric cars into the world. It's not to bring Tesla's electric cars to the world, just like it's not to bring WordPress's version of democratizing publishing. It's just to make sure that people can publish the best content in the best way. And so that is why folks in the Drupal community have embraced Gutenberg and are trying to use it as a front-end interface for some Drupal things. And in order for that to continue, Gutenberg needs to stay a WordPress sponsored and sister project outside of WordPress, no different than BuddyPress and BBPress 2 or GlotPress or anything else. This is an external library that other people are using that gets merged into WordPress periodically whenever it's time. So it is an important aspect of WordPress. But what I find fascinating, and one of the things for the goals for Publicis will be to bring some of those other core WordPress pieces back out and have them be independent pieces of software. But the Gutenberg team literally picked the most complicated and hardest part of WordPress to extract and unplug. And so after the editor and after Gutenberg, trying to unplug roles and API capabilities or rewrite rules or on and on and on, the settings API fields, like we talked with Scott Kingsley Clark, whatever else, those are arguably simpler than the editor and Gutenberg. So hopefully the Gutenberg really represents the future of component teams that have a sandbox and a place to work on things and leads the charge for the process of building something outside of WordPress core and then merging it in and having there be a teams and an example in place to do that with. I don't know that we've talked about it that way on the show or that it's been said out loud that that's what's happening, but knowing that they're happening in tandem and that it really is a separate outside project that doesn't depend on WordPress, but that WordPress will choose to depend on it. Hopefully we see more of that. We see micro teams and processes and stuff breaking apart to do the same kind of work.
And before we get into a bit more in depth on WordCamp US, I did want to mention, because this came out earlier today, the dates for WordCamp US 2019 have been announced. The next WordCamp US will be held on November 1st through the 3rd, 2019 in St. Louis, Missouri. So, make your plans, do what you got to do. I'm sure there's going to inconvenience millions of people because there's no such thing as a good date. But I, for one, think
it's going to St. Louis.
No, it's a Festivus miracle that we now have a huge event that will be in the beginning of November, which is just after Halloween. It's before all of the hubbub of holiday season here in the U.S. I think it's a beautiful thing.
But everyone that's listening only wants to know if you're going.
Right now I am making plans to bring my wife to go to St. Louis next year. Yes.
Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be a good time.
It will be a drive.
How long does it take you? 8 hours?
No, I mean, it takes me 8 or 9 to get to Chicago. So,
oh, really? Yeah, I guess. I suppose.
So it's going to take me a while to get to St. Louis, but I'm going to enjoy the drive. It'll be nice. I'm looking forward to it. So let's talk a little bit about WordCamp US. What went down last weekend in Nashville, Tennessee? I watched from afar. I watched a little bit of the live stream. Of course, I watched the State of the Word live. I monitored Twitter. David Bissett, shout out to you, brother. Yeah. He was tweeting so much about WordCamp US that he got put in Twitter jail. His account got suspended for a bit, which is pretty hilarious. But Twitter finally let up on that, and he was able to get access to his account later on after the event. So from what I've heard from various people who attended, and you were there, and you were there last year, so you can compare. I heard that the general vibe and atmosphere was that of people being tired, of exhaustion, that it didn't feel like there is that hype or that excitement that there was last year. Did you feel that way?
So I can see why people felt that way, but I tried to surround myself with people that did not feel that way this year, which was interesting. And I definitely personally had a different WordCamp experience this year than I have had in pretty much any other past year. And for me, in my experience, it was very positive. And so it makes me sad to think that, you know, folks, like we sort of predicted, but I don't like the idea of having everyone get together at the end of the year to celebrate WordPress 5 and a year's worth of successes and have their company spend the money, have them spend their own money out of pocket to travel, to get together, and not be there under like to like have fun and celebrate and enjoy each other's company and the successes of all of it. It bums me out to hear that. And there was a little bit of that. You're right. But you have to seek out the positivity. And I know that people are probably rolling their eyes and laughing because I am not the most positive person in about things. So I get the irony here is not lost on me, but, it wasn't hard to find people that were having a good time and rocking and jamming together and working on stuff. I thought the sponsor area this year was really refreshing and really full of people that were like happy to be there and talk about the cool stuff that they were doing and working on, Gutenberg or otherwise, which we can talk about at length. But there were, gosh, probably 32, I think, at least, probably booths or more. I don't know. There was a ton. Small booths, big booths. Google had a big booth there. Sponsor area
combined with the community bazaars, all that one big room.
Yep. And it was like lots of giveaways, lots of people showing off, lots of screens, lots of videos playing, lots of people walking people through things, and just sharing all the cool stuff that they've been working on. And it's sort of turning into a little bit. I mean, it's not I don't mean to say this, and I'm not trying to imply that it is, but it kind of feels a little bit more like a trade show.
I had a feeling you were going that direction.
Yeah. You know, it, like there are so many booths with people set up to like shake hands, say hi, hug people. How are you? Here's what we're doing. Here's what it is. Booths, not just with one person sitting there to say hi and give out a t-shirt, but like 3, 4, 5, 6 people in a booth, like very actively talking to people about things, handing out shirts and swag and other stuff. We were able to
give perspective. I mean, this is the largest WordCamp in the US. You're not going to have 6 people at a booth and all these different booths and all these sponsors at every other WordCamp here in the US.
That's right. We scored a really cool blanket from the GiveWP folks. We got a couple of shirts that were pretty cool. I think Automatic had some Jetpack folks there that were like live printing, like live screen printing.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Which was pretty cool. And and this is the thing that I like about sponsor booths, specifically at WordCamps, but like in general, is that you could go to the Automatic Jetpack like t-shirt printing thing. And you could pick what icon you wanted printed in the shirt. And it had the jetpack.com logo in the back by the neck. But that they didn't make you pick the Jetpack logo that went in the middle. They had all sorts of different shapes and things. And no one was like, hey, pick this one. You were able to put whatever you wanted in that shirt. And I thought that was kind of nice. It's sort of an example of like you go to have fun. You go to hang out. You go to like share with like-minded people, the cool stuff you're doing, and no one's really pressuring you into doing very much. The Google booth, the one thing that I thought was really cool that the folks at Google were working on is something, I think it was called SiteKit. I'd have to look.
Yeah, I've seen the announcement, and it sort of brings like the best of analytics into the WordPress dashboard.
Boy, like, that is a great example of something that I really appreciate and love a lot, which is like doing WordPress admin right. Like having it look and feel, having something very complex and having something very sophisticated look and feel native to WordPress, even though WordPress doesn't provide the objects or the styling or the controls or whatever else for it. I talked with Jake Goldman a little bit, and so I know that 10Up had a little bit of a hand in working on some of that. But the boy, does the dashboard experience for Google SiteKit in WordPress feel right? I mean, they really nailed it. They did a good job. And this comes from us even having worked on reporting in EDD3 for like a year straight. We've really tried hard to make it look and feel native and feel cool inside of WordPress admin without it feeling too far off. And SiteKit really feels very much the same, just looks and feels great and offers all of the Google services in a way that doesn't, like, you know how Jetpack kind of takes over. The styling is not WordPressy. It looks like Jetpack. It doesn't look like WordPress admin. And SiteKit looks like WordPress admin. And I really appreciate when plugins and designers go that extra step to make it look and feel deeply integrated. And that's, you know, arguably one of those things that Gutenberg didn't really do, not to like take another shot, because that's not the point, but it is so very easy to build something that doesn't take advantage of all of the styling and the ways that WordPress admin looks and feels. And I think that Google really nailed it and took the extra time to do it.
So out of all the conversations, out of all the topics, you know, what did you discuss with somebody that excited you, you know, the possibilities? Did in all of your conversations and things that you heard, did you hear excitement about Gutenberg? Did you hear excitement about the future of WordPress?
I think a lot of people were more excited after the state of the word than before.
Because WordPress 5.0, I mean, WordPress is now officially on a new journey. It's on correct. A new road.
I think it really truly is. It is a different WordPress than it was before 5.0. I think some of the feelings were, in my own opinion, are accurate. There was some anxiety and some tension building up to State of the Word. You watched the State of the Word just like I did. And so there were some mixed reactions to some of the things that were in State of the Word. It wasn't all applause and super positive. There was some mixed reactions in there. Seeing the sort of four phases of Gutenberg spelled out, seeing Matt's sort of 9-step vision for what should happen in 5.1, I think there are a lot of people that were looking for that. Like, what is it we should be doing? And but that comes from a contributor team, not from a user team. And so I think WordCamp US is largely comprised of contributors that are there on contributor day and want to know how they can be the most useful and who is the person to make them feel useful if they're not finding it on their own. Everyone wants to be put to the best work that they can do and be set up for success. And so if you don't know what that means, then you don't know how to succeed. So seeing the four phases of Gutenberg and the 9 5.1 steps, I think, was a sigh of relief for the contributors that were at WordCamp US, and they felt like they had an idea and a direction on what they could be useful for. That was the major milestone. To answer your question about, like, what conversation did I have, or what was somebody working on that people were excited about? A lot of people are excited about, and this is, I mean, somewhat random, I think, but Pagely's North Stack, mm-hmm. like their newer hosted WordPress sort of, I guess, product, experiment, project, the push. Their efforts are really going into North Stack. And, you know, Pagely has a good reputation for kind of not just handing out WordPress installs like crazy and not just saying it's on your own, you broke it and go. They really take, I think, a little bit extra care into...
Well, they sort of evolved into the Rolls Royce of managed WordPress hosting.
Really, right. And so I think there's a lot of excitement around the promise or the expectation that you can get a similar level of service like that at a lower price point. And people seem pretty jazzed up about that, specifically in response to... you know, Liquid Web is focusing on WooCommerce, and in order for them to do that, they really had to write a lot of custom code and tune their hosting for WooCommerce very specifically. Pagely has done the same, but they have done it for more than just Woo. They've done it for easy digital downloads. They've done it for the Buddy Press and BB Press. They've done it for WooCommerce, membership plugins, migrations, everything else. And so the opportunity to be provided all that secret sauce, I think, has people pretty excited.
If you look at, you know, just talking about host really quick, Liquid Web, they recently announced a partnership with Iconic WP, mm-hmm. which is going to help provide more focus towards their managed WooCommerce hosting. And WP Engine, I believe, just made a big partnership deal with BigCommerce.
I know, right?
So, and we just had BigCommerce on. Boy, they are, you know, and it seems to be a smart strategy on their part that if you want to make a splash in the WordPress scene like BigCommerce is doing, because they're a relatively new entrant, you know, as far as brand awareness goes in the WordPress space, partner mm-hmm. up with a major reputable WordPress managed hosting company.
That's right. BigCommerce had a booth in the sponsor area. Topher was there. I got to talk to Kate. I did not see Topher. I think I waved at him briefly. But that was, I mean, to parlay the two things together, is there are lots of people that I got to see at WordCamp US that I got to hug and say hello to, was happy to see. But I did two things this year that I hope to continue doing that don't feel natural for me, but that I would hope that other people maybe try also is I spent a lot more time with coworkers than normally I would. Normally I would float around and do core contributor things or try to have meet up with other core contributors and talk about contributor day and plan things out or help people with booths or try and volunteer in some weird way at a WordCamp. And so this year I spent more time with coworkers working on stuff or just hanging out, which was really, really relaxing. And then the other part of it that was loads of fun, doesn't feel natural for me, is I just hung out with a bunch of strangers, people that I did not know, or that I had only maybe known from the internet briefly, and just hung out with them, and just caught up and talked about nothing, because I could talk with Morten all day about things and get caught up in it for an hour conversation in a corner somewhere, or there are people that I can sit and commiserate or reflect on all sorts of different things. But that's work, and that happens in Slack or anything else. And that I will touch back on that when we talk about actual sessions and stuff at WordCamp US. But those were the two things that I did. And so comparatively to, I think, others or most people where they're really trying to...
Batman rule?
I did practice the Batman rule. We even acknowledged some people practicing it.
Nice. Beautiful.
As it was happening. So yeah, it was good. But that's what I did. I think I didn't want it to be about the negative or the bad or anything. I really wanted it to be about only the positive stuff, only the happy stuff, and try and hang out with different people and have newer, better experiences.
I mean, realized, at WordCamp US, you can make or break your experience. You have control over the type of experience that you want to have at WordCamp US.
I did feel bad because while we were walking to WordCamp US on Friday morning, we intersected with some folks that were also on their way to WordCamp US and stopped into a Starbucks to get a coffee quick. And so, you know, as dumb as it is, I like to buy folks coffee when I see them when we get talking in the morning. I feel like that's like a nice way to say welcome to WordCamp. And so I bought two folks coffee in the morning. And then there was a girl in line behind us who was by herself. But I didn't know if she was going to WordCamp or not. And so I didn't include her in the like drink order. Like there was no conversation that was happening. But then later on I saw her at a WordCamp. And so, when I saw her there, I think on Friday, I was like, oh, well now I just bought coffee for two people and like excluded someone. And now I felt bad. And so if you're the person who was in line behind us, who I don't know, please accept my apology for not including you in buying you a coffee, because I feel like that's like, it's like a nice thing. Like Friday morning, you're all excited, get a coffee. And so I you know, that's my, wow, my
I am incredibly disappointed in your lack of inclusion.
I mean, it's how I felt when it all, when it all went down. I was like, this is just a girl who doesn't want to talk to us. Who's,
well, I mean, and who are you to know? I mean,
yeah, I know. And so I should have just, I don't know. But yeah, that happened.
So, I watched the State of the Word. I enjoyed it. There's so much that came out of the State of the Word as far as the phases, the four phases of Gutenberg and what to look forward to. Personally, for me, the highlight was the question and answer session. There's so much good stuff in the State of the Word, but I love it. I love the Q&A session because it's live, it's raw, and he's on stage. He's in front of millions of people. People are watching online. So let's ask him a good question. Let's see what his answers are. And I got to hand it to Morten Rand Hendrickson, who once again went to the microphone, and he pretty much asked Matt the question, pretty much asked Matt to explain his use of the word we in terms of the decisions that were made, the release dates, certain processes. And Morten was referencing, you know, you said we and we here and we here. Can you explain what does that we mean? And Matt actually said, well, you know, for the release date, we was me and I and the release leads. And for this, it was us and the contributors or me and the design team. And but, you know, overall, I appreciated Matt's willingness to answer the question and made a lot more sense when he explained the various contexts of what we meant in certain situations and certain decisions that were made. And I'm hopeful that in the future, when either on the Make Core blog post or some of the more official channels of communication, that, you know, as the project leader or those who are in leadership positions, when they say the word we, either right after or in parentheses, they explain or reference who that we is. Because when it's not mentioned, nobody knows. Who's we? Nobody knows.
I mean, hopefully we can go back into this episode and think of me talking about the security team. Like, this is one of those things that I've tried to do, maybe not always successfully, but I really do try to do when we're talking about all the various initiatives and things that are happening. I mean, not just in WordPress, but like in life in general, in village things, volunteering for things. Like if I'm going to represent a group or be so bold as to speak on behalf of a group of people, I try to clarify what group it is that I'm representing at the time. And Morten's question specifically gets me talking off topic, but again, about Morten's talk at WordCamp US this year, which was about governance and open source, which was a talk that I sadly missed, actually, because when I went to go see Morten's talk, Morten was not on stage for his own talk, and I was confused by that, and so I left. thinking that he got moved to a different room. And so I didn't get to see it.
And lo and behold, what Morten did was actually something that he said he wasn't supposed to do. And he offered his spot, his opportunity to address all these people. He gave the microphone to two or three other people to highlight initiatives that need more spotlight added to them, that need more awareness. And that is a hell of a gesture by Morten, by the way, to do that.
I agree. Totally. But it threw me off and I came in late. And so it's my own fault. But I wish I would have seen it. But the question and answer session of the State of the Word this year will likely result in changes for future years.
Yes.
Largely due to the length of some of the questions. And you know, our listeners know I have been known to ask doozies of questions that are not very straightforward. So I am...
You need a paragraph before you get to the question.
Right. I'm not good. I'm not as good as Jeff is at asking the straightforward question and leading someone into it. Jeff is... This is why this is Jeff's podcast and not mine. I can have a conversation with people, but I'm not good at the questions and the back and forth and the dialogue. So... I get how you get up on stage, you get into the mic, you're anxious to ask a question, you're talking to Matt in front of 2,000 people in a live stream, the nerves go crazy, and then you just you don't
what was I gonna ask?
That's right. And then you can't you don't know how to end the question to get the answer you want, and then it doesn't go the way maybe you hope. That is how it happens for me, which is why I don't stand up to the microphone and ask questions like that anymore, because I ramble like I am now. So what do you think?
Well, after previous WordCamp US's, after previous or any Q&A session at WordCamps, there have been a number of people like David Bissett who have created guides on, you know, write your question ahead of time. Make sure you get to the point as quickly as you can. Don't add a lot of dialogue. And then when you ask your question, please sit down away from the microphone so that, you know, the person can answer your question. At this year's State of the Word, I saw some people, Morton might have been one of them, who had, you know, their phones, and they were looking at their phones, and they had the question right there on their phone, which is great. But there was one gentleman who had a lengthy question to begin with. And when Matt answered it, the gentleman said, "Oh, one more thing. Can I?" And then Matt says, "Well, we need to, we're running out of time here. I want to get to as many questions as possible." He says, "Well," and he kind of forcefully kept himself at the microphone to expand upon some things. And it was kind of, I mean, in general, that's just an impolite thing to do for the other people that are there in line for questions. But, and aside from just the question part, you know, Matt is answering these questions on the fly. He doesn't have any really time to prepare. He's answering them based on what he feels, what he thinks. And some of the things he said generated some controversy. Some people took things out of context. When he was answering Morton's question, he said something to the effect of, you know, if you don't speak English well, or if it's not your first language, I understand. But he was talking about the complexities of we and the language barriers. But some people heard it and thought that he was insulting Morton, saying that he doesn't speak English very well, which Twitter kind of blew up a little bit about. And those two talked about it face-to-face. They apologized on Twitter. Everything's cool. But I think in the future – yeah, like you said, changes. We're going to either have questions submitted ahead of time that Matt answers on stage one by one, or I don't know. There's been ideas that have been suggested on Twitter.
The watching the reaction to Matt and Morton, and hopefully this is something that our listeners can relate to, or that the folks that were that reacted to it will somehow be linked to or hear. But one of the things that everyone says, or that I think is like the common reaction to it, is like, don't assume that someone is being malicious. You know, just assume that they're misunderstood or misspoke or something else. And that's fine. I don't agree with that myself. I don't, but at the same time, it doesn't if there is someone that triggers you to the extent where you feel like you are expecting to find things that you don't agree with, you will. If you're expecting to find things to disagree with, you are going to find things to disagree with. If you're doing a code review, you're going to find things that could be better. If you're looking at a thing out in the world and inspecting brickwork or painting or utility poles, and you're looking for things to be wrong, you will find things wrong. And my very polite ask to like most of the people in the WordPress community about Gutenberg, about Matt, about each other, is to just stop looking for things to pick at and on and around. Because you're gonna find them.
That to our commenters on the tavern, that'd be nice.
I mean, to them too, really, truly, right?
Matt's not going to go on stage on the biggest stage in the WordPress community and blatantly insult someone. That's not going to happen.
Obviously.
And if it is, right? It's a huge mistake or a huge misunderstanding of words.
Matt has occasionally in the past taken some, he's been cleverly taken shots at things that have happened in the previous year, right? That's right. But without context,
they look terrible.
Right. With or without context, you can take anything that we've said on the internet. And if you're trying to turn it into something, you will be able to turn it into something. And if there is a person that you do not align with, that you cannot get along with, then just remove that person from your life. That is no good comes from seeing anything they say or do, and spend the rest of your time and life without that person. That is a perfectly acceptable thing to do, even if it's Matt. If Matt is a person that bothers you that much, it is okay to not follow his tweets or to not read everything that he says or to try and find things in them, and you will be happier as a result of removing that person and still paying attention to the job or the work or the community or WordPress or anything else.
I had to remove some people that I in the WordPress community from Twitter and make sure I don't interact with them anymore, because when I interact with them, they trigger me. I get instantly upset and they take things the wrong way, and I can't do things or say things in a certain way because they blow up and they get upset. So, all right, just get out of my digital life.
And there are people who I know, people have blocked me. People have definitely done that with me also. And that is okay. Not yet. And you're stuck with me for an hour a week, right? Yeah, so that's right. Regardless of what, and so that's my ask, I think, is like, just don't look for it.
Assume the best of intentions. How many times have we said that this year?
The other thing that I thought was interesting about this year's State of the Word, which we could talk about a whole episode about the State of the Word, but there's usually a lot more stats.
Oh.
Usually a lot more charts and graphs and things. And this year the State of the Word was a different type of presentation. It was a different tone. It was telling a different story, a different approach towards the history and the direction. And I am okay with it, but it's not what I was expecting. What about you?
Anytime there were stats, like WordCamps, meetups, all of that stuff was like just an addendum at the end of the presentation.
Yeah. And this year there was just little tidbits. It was more, last year's I thought was really neat with Matthias kind of clicking through Gutenberg and showing it off. That was killer. We didn't get that this year because we had it last year, right? So
what did you think during Matt's State of the Word? He actually played some user testing videos of people trying to accomplish some tasks in the classic editor. And that has caused a ruckus with a lot of people because some folks have said, well, of course he's going to show that. He's not going to show how people are using Gutenberg. And are the tasks that those people are supposed to complete, are those even completable? Are those even good tasks for people to be doing in those tests?
That's right.
And by the way, in those user tests, those users had a very difficult time trying to accomplish the task.
That's right, they did. And so that's always the argument specifically with user testing is coming up with a good test for a user is difficult. Mm-hmm. And then seeing and watching the user testing videos is supposed to be painful. You are supposed to go, no, oh God, it's so bad. That is how you're supposed to react to user testing videos, because they're supposed to be revealing. They are supposed to be eye-opening. They are supposed to show you.
What are you doing? Don't you see the button? We designed it. That went through 15 iterations. Why don't you see the button?
That's right. If a user test tells you things you already know, then it probably wasn't a very good test. Arguably, the user tests for the classic editor kind of proved what we already knew, and then the reason to not necessarily show user tests for Gutenberg is frankly to not show again what we already know.
No, so hindsight's 20/20, but it would have been awesome if right after those user tests, you see a demo of those tasks and how quickly they can be accomplished in Gutenberg.
Carrie and I noticed that the Gutenberg video was sped up quite a bit.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. I'm like, wait a minute, you can't do that fast. That's right. This has been sped up,
and so it could have been done better, right? Like if you're going to show off user videos, that could have been a whole talk on its own. Was just pit the old editor against the new editor and watch the user test, and we all sit for 45 minutes and only watch videos. And by the time that we leave that session at WordCamp US, our cheeks hurt from laughing so hard, because it would just be so crazy. That could have been its own whole thing instead of 45 seconds at State of the Word. So, Matt had a timeline and he fit it all in, and it got rushed in, and that's okay. But that was the one thing that I didn't like about comparing those two things in that specific way. Is that to me? It really did look like those tests were set up, or they were to so that the user would fail. Like, here, try to complete this impossible task, and then show to us the steps with which you have tried to complete that task.
I think one of the tasks was add text to the right of an image or add a caption to an image.
Right.
And users in the videos were just clicking around and they couldn't quite figure out what to do or how to get out of the caption.
Correct.
To go underneath. It was.
Yep.
But I mean, it was funny, but then again, it was very cringeworthy.
Right. But and the thing with user tests is that most of the time, you get to ask for users that feel like they have a certain proficiency level with WordPress. And so, I mean, with any software, but with WordPress specifically, if you put something out there, you get to say, I'm looking for an expert, or I'm looking for a novice, someone who understands WordPress, and I'm looking for you to try and complete this task. Or I'm looking for someone who has no concept of what WordPress is to try and log into it and tell me what you expected, and let's see how you do it. You're able to say who you're looking for and what kind of person you want feedback from. And to me, it kind of looked like these were people that had no WordPress experience trying to do something. It looked like new users trying to complete tasks in WordPress, because if you knew how to do them, you know how to do them, and then it's easy. You just write the text, you put your image over there, you click the right align button, and then it's over there. We've talked about that on the show, Jeff, with you trying to write a line, an image, and a thumbnail, and how easy it was in the classic editor and how easy it's not in Gutenberg. So once you know how to do it, it's really easy to do. But when you ask new users how to do something, it's like asking a new user to drive a car that's never driven a car before. There is a lot of institutional knowledge about how a car is supposed to work that we kind of learn from watching everyone drive a car, the gas pedal, the brake. The steering wheel, the wipers, they're all in the same spot, which is really nice. But editors are always different.
A car with a manual shifter, I will burn the clutch.
Oh, no. See, driving a stick is really fun. It's super easy. You could do it. I could teach
you. It's super easy. Yeah, that's what they said about Gutenberg.
See, I'm making the same exact comparison here. And so with cars, every car is the same. They're all, everything's in the same spot except for climate control and like the meteor radio. They're always different, and that's a nightmare. But you can get in any car and drive it for the most part. But you can't.
My wife loves heated seats.
But what you know about Microsoft Word, or what you know about Apple Keynote, or what you know about Adobe InDesign, does it really translate over to either the classic editor or the new editor? Either way. And so we really don't have a lot of foundational knowledge or experience for our users to jump from, other than the WYSIWYG editor, which everyone is sort of familiar with, bold, italic, underline, paragraph. That's hard to screw up, I think. And then, yeah, it's just that was my thing with it, is those user testing videos were not just apples and oranges. It wasn't even a fair comparison, but limited time, and they'll be better or cooler next time.
So sure. To reel this all in, there is going to be a substantial effort in Gutenberg phase 2 on user testing. There is a user research channel that's been set up in the WordPress Slack. There's discussions that are taking place now about test, what to test, how to test, test criteria, and how do we get that information and these tests completed to further iterate on Gutenberg in the future, which is something personally I would have liked to have seen this in phase one, you know, and sort of educate right. the design and the UI and the flows for phase one. But hey, you know, phase two, better late than never. Mm-hmm. And I'm very interested to see the research and the information and the knowledge that we gain from these user tests.
And you talked about the Make blog being a fire hose. Every new Slack channel is just a new more pressure on the hose. There's just so much going on. Is user testing part of the flow team, or is it a core team thing? Do you know which team it belongs
right
to?
Right now, I don't know if it's its own team right now it has its own channel, so who knows?
Because one of my old friend and one of the old WordPress leads, Ryan Boren, was on the Flow team and spent a lot of time on the classic editor experience, looking at improvements that could have been made, and
about flows.
Lots and lots of documentation and screenshots and walkthroughs on just the experience and how it could be better. And so hopefully the user testing stuff really complements all of that work nicely, because that's the other thing that is really easy to do, is you're so focused on the future that you really do forget all the work that happened before you. And so
kind of reminds me of a post or a series of articles back in the day by Jen Milo, where she actually published her experience of working with a web host, setting up a WordPress install on that web host, and what to do, and just try not to use any of her knowledge of inside core or documentation, and just trying to figure things out on our own. And it was very enlightening and sort of encouraging to see that her, just based on her experiment with WordPress, that there were so many areas that were ripe for improvement, especially at that time, documentation on the codecs, examples, and up-to-date information.
Yep. And it was an enormous amount of work, right? I mean, Jen is really deserves all of the credit and kudos for really doing
like
the
you're
first
reading that post. You're just shaking your head.
Yeah.
And
really introducing user testing to WordPress in the very first place.
She's very big on that.
Yeah.
So that's user testing. I can't wait to see what happens. I mean, I would love to do some user testing on Gutenberg. I would love to see everybody look at Jeff Chandler and say, wow, you know, that guy's been using WordPress for 13 years and he can't do it. What the hell is the matter with him?
You know, but that's the natural progression of all of these things. You know, it's supposed to change and be different. And we were fortunate enough to have been here for the first decade or so, and the next decade looks like it's going to be a very different WordPress.
So we mentioned this a little bit earlier in the show, but I think it's worth saying again. And it kind of reminds me of the blog post that Morten Rand Hendrickson published in 2017, where, you know, he's very passionate about WordPress. He wants WordPress to go in a good direction for the web. And he talked about how, you know, once Gutenberg and once WordPress 5.0 ships, We have now, that's the dividing line now. There was WordPress before Gutenberg, and now there's WordPress after. We are now at WordPress after. We're at WordPress 5.0 is out there. We are now on a new journey. We're on a new road with the block-based editor. And Matt even highlighted this in his presentation that the boards of the ship, which is menus, mm-hmm. widgets, and other facets of WordPress, the plan is to rebuild the ship with new boards based on Gutenberg. So I'm curious to see where this journey takes us. I imagine there's going to be some tough lessons to learn. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for people to get involved. And I hope we can all sort of gather around now and take a deep breath and try and make this a very bright future for WordPress and for the rest of the web.
Is this you trying to wrap this up?
Yes.
I had a feeling. Because, gosh, is there so much stuff I wanted to talk about. More State of the Word stuff, Morton's talk, governance and open source. Man, we need a round two for this. We need to talk more about it next week.
Yeah, I would actually like to bring Morton on next week, and so we can go a little bit more involved with some discussion. But I love talking to Morton, man. He's one smart dude. How can you not be smarter after listening to him talk? Oh, and by the way, this just occurred to me before I go. You know, there is some talk about inclusion at WordCamp US, mm-hmm. especially during the mm-hmm. Q&A, that there were women who stood up to the microphone, and there were women who were in line but did not get a chance to ask questions because other male figures were in front of them at the podium, and they just sort of ran out of time. You know, I want to see inclusion and diversity happening at WordCamps. And I think there are certain ways that can be done, especially when it comes to the question and answers and what have you. But at the same time, you know, John, I find it difficult to discuss because look at me, I'm a white male. What the hell do I know about all of this stuff?
But, one of the whitest that I know,
actually. I want to encourage women to speak and be part of the process, but at the same time, you don't want to make them feel like they're just a statistic to make sure that you're being inclusive in this project. And mm-hmm. To me, that's a very slippery slope, a very narrow gray area that you want to avoid.
You know, the thing, and this is my, again,
and we'll probably talk more about this next year because we're actually going to have Jill. Is it Jill Bender?
Yep.
Jill
yep.
Bender on who she's doing a lot of work, a project about inclusivity, diversity mm-hmm. within the WordPress project. We're going to have her on early next year, and we're going to talk more about that.
It's a sensitive topic for no reason because it shouldn't even be a problem, but it is a huge problem. And so the only thing that we can do is talk about it and try to include more women as guests on the show and make it a point to try. The scary thing about trying is that you will probably fail and probably make mistakes, and hopefully people don't get too upset with you for making those mistakes. But it's weird for me, and I probably am going to regret saying this, but I'm going to say it anyways. Like, it's weird for me to think of how bad the problem of diversity and in including others is, because specifically like with the BBs, with BuddyPress and BBPress, or with like any of the core things that I've ever been involved with in my tenure or time, it's always been easy to just treat people like people and give people the benefit of the doubt and trust them that they're trying their best, and then just help them the best that I can to get where they're trying to go. Like, it's weird for me to think that that people really have a problem doing that. It seems we talked about in the beginning of the show, like there is a point where it's weird for a random guy to ask some random girl in line if they can buy their coffee for them. That isn't a thing that I think most of the time wouldn't go over very well. And so it's, in the end, it ended up being a missed opportunity to have met someone new or included them and do a cool thing.
Well, I think at the very least, kudos for you recognizing that.
Well, yeah, but that's like, recognizing it is great, but it still is a thing that didn't happen. And I don't know how to recognize it at the time, I guess. And so that's something that I'm learning, is to how to recognize it at the time, is when is there an opportunity where there could have been someone else, that could have been included or could have been leveled up or could have had a better experience when they didn't. And to try and to work that personality trait like a muscle that needs working, you know,
like, yeah, it's like having to train and be good at being inclusive without letting them know or even thinking about that that's what you're doing. Like,
and I don't, and then that's the thing, is someone's going to say, well, if you don't think about it, it should be natural. But at the same time, if you don't think about it, then you're not trying. So how do you try while also not thinking about it? And so for me, again, personally, I've made many very positive, healthy, strong relationships with women in the WordPress community simply by treating them as people that are awesome, like like anyone else would just be awesome. Jennifer Dodd with BB Press, Tammy Lister through Buddy Press, Mercy Me, Kate DeRosia. There's the list of goes on and on and on of people that are like good friends. Sarah Gooding. I mean, there's on the air, it's tough to pick them out. Then I don't want to exclude people. But at the same time, like, you meet someone, you say, hi, how are you? Do you want a cup of coffee? How's it going? Let's be friends. What are you working on? That's cool. How can we jam on something together? Like, these are things that just feel like the right thing to do. And it's weird.
It seems like common sense, but I guess it doesn't happen enough.
If it's not happening enough, then there means that there are people that are not trying hard enough, I guess. Or that there are adults that just haven't learned how to do those tasks or perform those tasks yet. And so for WordPress specifically, I think that means that like WordPress leadership or influencers or mentors or whatever that means now, whatever the we is there, needs to try harder to pull people in. But in all of my time contributing to WordPress, I have never heard or seen someone say that they don't want or like or somebody because of what they are and cannot help being, right? Like, so I think we're ahead of the game a little bit there.
I want to throw this question at you before we wrap it up here. I want to throw this question out at you.
Sure.
Matt Mulloway on stage, Q&A. He says, I will only accept questions from women this year.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think the community would respond to that?
Poorly.
I think so as well.
Probably poorly.
I think a lot of people say that is not how you're supposed to.
And my personal reaction would be to applaud loudly, because I plan on having there be many more years to come. And so if 1 year at one State of the Word is dedicated to having women ask questions, who cares? It's a great thing to celebrate, to prove that it's important. And then for the next 20 years, we can ask and focus on whatever other groups of individuals that we think need highlighting and celebrating. It is about highlighting and celebrating the things that make us unique and different and diverse. And sometimes the healthy thing to do is to highlight them individually. And sometimes it is to intermingle them and disperse them all together.
I'm kind of with you on this. I think it would be very insightful. I think it'd be great. to just have to have women do the ask questions during a Q&A session, just at least once. I think it'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the overall response from a lot of people would be, oh, no, that's not the way you highlight inclusion and diversity. Mm-hmm. Now you've turned the women into statistics, and it would just be crazy. But I'd be with you, man. I would applaud that type of I would applaud just having women asked just that year, just saying, look, you know, this is possible. This is something you can do. Don't be afraid. And hopefully those women would be examples for other women, you know, encourage other women to participate in the process.
So how about since March, right? March is Women's History Month. And why don't we try and have more women on the show in March? Why don't we try and make it a point? Why don't we just try?
I'm down with that. Cool. I am down with that. All right.
We'll try our best.
This is phase one. We're going to have four phases of WordPress Weekly. That's phase one.
I'm all right
Get more women on the show. Let's see. So with that, there's so much stuff we could talk about. We're running long here on time. Of course, that's to be expected. we've got an episode planned for next week where I think we can dive into more of WordCamp US because there's so much more to get to, sessions that probably we should get to. And I'll look into seeing if we can get Morton on because the governance of WordPress and how decisions should be made with the community in mind and for the web instead of, you know, a few people behind closed doors, that's a very interesting topic.
I am hot to talk about that issue. Mm-hmm. I am so ready, especially with Morton. Because I don't think Morton and I are 100% in agreement. So I think that it would be a exciting and fun conversation.
Now that you told me that, I would try extra hard to get on the show. Good for reasons. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter because I haven't quit it yet. JEFFR0 and John.
And you can read my blog, which is no longer showing an Nginx 404 error because at jjj.blog and follow me, probably not on Twitter at jjj, but definitely at GitHub at jjj. And maybe someplace new eventually. I don't know. We'll see.
What a teaser. So that's going to do it. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week. Have a safe weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. Say bye, John.
Bye, John. Bye, everybody.